There are lots of terms and concepts we use all the time without pausing to consider what they mean. If someone asked you to define compassion, could you? And more appropriately, will you? Because we're asking. Our guest this hour has been asking for years. David Breaux, that's the French way, B-R-E-A-U-X, Breaux, took to a street corner in Davis to ask people to record on paper their thoughts on compassion. It led to copious comments and a compilation book he self-published called simply Compassion, Davis, California. David Breaux now visits communities talking about compassion. He's in the Rogue Valley for a series of events and here in the studio with me now. David Breaux, thanks for coming.
Thank you. Great to be here.
So people don't generally just get up one morning and say, I'll explore compassion, or do they? Is that what happened to you?
Yes.
Really?
No. The process began in 2008 when I was exploring the things that I really wanted to ask myself, the deeper questions that one asks in one life. I believe that we are mind, body, and spirit. And I had exercised my mind by going to Stanford University as an undergraduate, exercised my body as being an athlete doing marathons and cycling. So I asked myself, how does one go about exercising one's spirit? So I took a year and a half studying different masters and mystics and saints and sages, and came across a YouTube video by a woman named Karen Armstrong who talks about compassion. So I got a pen and a notepad and started to write my own concept of compassion and felt a bit dissatisfied in the process. I was living in a studio apartment by myself in Oakland, California. Went around the area of Lake Merritt to ask people to get a collective definition of compassion. In doing so, I found that I was engaged in a conversation with people I was getting out of the studio apartment, and it was an uplifting process. Over the course of a few weeks and surrendering to a will greater to my own, I decided to relinquish a lot of the material goods that I had at the time, and decided to make this a lifelong endeavor to simply ask people about compassion.
Have you become an ascetic then, in a sense? I mean, it sounds like you have a fairly simple lifestyle at the moment.
Very much so. I still eat. I'm not fully an ascetic. I still eat. I still take care of my stuff. I still own a few things, yet most of the things that I own and most of the things I think, say, and do are geared towards bringing awareness to compassion, rather than personalizing my life into how I look, what I own, what my status is, what people think about me. I tend to move towards the virtue and the value of compassion in everything I think, say, and do.
How broad was your, you talked about exploring through the saints and sages and all that. Was it pretty much everything you could get your hands on in terms of spiritual traditions?
Yes, it was Hinduism, Catholicism, all the different forms of Christianity, Buddhism, Sufism. It was philosophy involved as well, science even. If you look at physics, it's the physics and different scientific methods. And I allowed one thing to lead to another, especially on YouTube when they have the suggestions on the side. I just followed them.
Oh, really?
And that's actually how I came across the Karen Armstrong video initially.
Is this the woman you refer to as Peace Pilgrim?
No, she's, that's different.
Okay.
I can share that story also if you'd like to.
In a bit, but let's talk about the YouTube video then.
Yes. Which one?
The one you just mentioned with Karen.
Yes, it's a TED Talk in which she won the TED Prize that year. And I remember right after watching that video, I got a pen and a notepad and tried to write my own concept of compassion. The reason being because up to that point, it was very seldom used in my lexicon, and it wasn't. It relates to what you initially asked, starting this interview. It's a word that you really don't think about too often. And so I was thinking about it and exploring it, and 7 years later, I'm still exploring it in a different way.
Why compassion? Well, I mean, there could have been so many other things: happiness, or pleasure, or satisfaction. Or why compassion?
That's the word that came up for me in that instant. And I think looking back on it, it's the word that I needed at the time for myself as far as the exploration that I was going through. And right now, with all the things that are going on in the world, I believe it's one of the greatest healing virtues that can be used in order to bring balance and harmony to what's going on right now in the world.
So how much did, outside of your own immediate circumstances in life and what was going on with finances, relationships, whatever, I mean, how much did the events of what was going on in the larger world spur this journey on?
I think it was more an internal journey. I would say the outside world vanished for a while, and I was doing a very internal exploration, and that it touched me. And it was a calling, I would say. There were other outside forces, other wills beyond my own that guided me towards this calling. And the thing about a calling is that sometimes you receive a call that sometimes it's the wrong number. And sometimes it's something that's interesting. I found this to be interesting, so I followed it. And it wasn't a telemarketer, and it was someone that I can trust. It was something I can put my trust into as well.
You mentioned the trial run, asking people around Lake Merritt in Oakland about their thoughts for compassion. I mean, it seems like in an urban environment like that, the responses could range from "Bless you, my child," to "Get away from me, freak." So did you get that varied a set of responses?
And then some.
Yeah.
Yes. So I've asked over 20,000 people. Keep that in mind. So the responses have varied from, what are you doing? What is this for? And while I was in Davis, there's one of the ones that stand out is I asked someone, and he said, "I don't know what compassion is because I'm an electrical engineer." I found that amusing. And there's a ton of stories that I can share about the reactions. Initially in Davis, the story in Davis, I no one knew what I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I received, over the course of maybe even 2 or 3 years, people came to find out what I was doing. And from what was once an anonymous man standing on the corner, people started to come and want it and pay their respects, in a sense.
Something of a local celebrity in a fashion. We'll talk more with David Breaux about compassion in the world today. He's compiled some of the responses from 20,000 people that he's visited with over the years about compassion. More with David Breaux and you on the Jefferson Exchange in 1 minute. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Subject matter this hour is compassion, because David Breaux has devoted the rest of his life, I guess, to looking at what compassion means, not just to himself, but to other people, because he spent years on a street corner in Davis, California, at 3rd and C Streets, asking people, "What does compassion mean to you?" And he got some surprising responses, which he compiled in a book called Compassion Davis, California, which represents just the first 6 months of what he got on the street corner. There have been many more since that time. He now goes on tour, got a number of events in Ashland, including talking to, well, us today, Unity in Ashland. He'll be at the Ashland Library on Thursday next, at Bloomsbury Books on Friday next, and several other events before he leaves the Rogue Valley. You can join us here and now on the Jefferson Exchange. Let's get your thoughts on compassion at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So we talked about the trial run on Lake Merritt in Oakland and a variety of responses there. Was it the responses you got that sent you to Davis, or was it just the fact that you had a different living situation available to you in Davis that made that attractive?
It was a different living situation in Davis. I was living by myself in a studio, and I found it that it would be more healthy to live with other people. And I had a friend who was in graduate school in Davis, so I moved to Davis in May of 2008.
You talked about
2009.
Okay. You talked about some of the other people who influenced you. There was a man, I understand, who was protesting the shipping of oil.
Yes.
Who also bore some it could take some credit for the journey that you embarked upon. How? What did he do?
His name is John Francis, mm-hmm. and he also has a TED Talk in which he encourages people to find something that they are passionate about and to act on it now. What he did was he saw two oil barges collide in the Bay Area in the early 70s and decided to walk everywhere. And also, at the same time, he noticed that he wasn't listening, which actually has to do with compassion in a sense. And he decided to be quiet for a day, and that day eventually lasted 17 years of silence. And so he walked and was silent for 17 years and lived his life that way and achieved many things, 2 degrees, university degrees. And one day his mom said, "It's time to talk." And he said, "Okay." And after watching that video and being inspired to do something now, immediately, rather than wait and put it off for whatever reason, I decided it was Peace Pilgrim who was the third person that was most inspirational. That's a video that I remember watching after watching the John Francis video.
Now, after the John Francis video, did you have your own period of silence?
No.
No?
No.
But it sounds like you got on the floor, though, and you just kind of laid there for a while and just let thoughts wash over you?
Oh, yes, yes. That was after the Peace Pilgrim, watching mm-hmm. the Peace Pilgrim video. What I did for 3 weeks was to lay on the ground and simply watch the thoughts pass by it was a surrendering process in which I decided that I will wait for the calling. And I laid on my back for 3 weeks outside of eating and drinking and doing the things I needed to take care of my body, food shopping, etc. And I watched the thoughts pass by, as one does when one meditates or when one prays or when one is simply doing an interview. One can watch one's thoughts pass by. And as I was watching those thoughts pass by, there was a stillness, what's called one-pointedness. And that thought dropped away, and there was this still small voice that I asked, "What is it that you want of me?" And that small voice said to continue asking about compassion. And yes, it was the most ridiculous thing that I've ever noticed about myself up to that point. And I've decided to follow that calling. I put trust in a pen, a notebook, and a question, and began doing that June 3rd, 2009, following that calling.
And what is the actual form of the question? What did you ask people out there in that street corner in Davis?
Initially, it was, "Would you care to share your definition of compassion?" And over time, I found that the word definition, because there is not a word for compassion in some languages, I decided to use the word concept instead of definition. And with using the word concept, what happens is some people draw things in the notebook. Most people write words, but some people draw images here mm-hmm. and there.
So you got some doodles to go along with all the words?
Oh, yes, yes.
Now, I looked at a blog that somebody else wrote about you, and they mm-hmm. mentioned that once they got into the book, it was like they had diarrhea of the hand or something. They just kept going and going and going, and didn't, you know, that wasn't what they'd planned to do.
Mm.
Did that happen a fair amount, that people would just start writing in the book and just go and go and go?
Yes, I can share one particular story. This woman came by the corner and I had asked her. She took the notebook, went across the street, sat for 15 minutes, wrote in the notebook, not just in the on the lines, but in the margins for about 3 pages. She left for a half hour, came back, took the notebook, sat across the street, did the same thing for another 15, 20 minutes, and ended up writing 6 full on the page of her concept of compassion. More so her concept and also what she was going through at the moment and how appreciative she was of being able to think of compassion and process what she was going through by writing in the notebook. 6 pages worth.
6 pages. David yes. Rowe is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's been asking people for their concept of compassion for years on a street corner in Davis, California. He wrote a book compiling some of the items that he got on the street corner. He goes on tour now and talks to people about compassion. Was there any back and forth? I mean, did you get into discussions or debates with people or just simply take it and say thank you?
Most people will write and be on their way, and they're... Over the years, after receiving 10,000 responses, I say maybe about a quarter of the people will continue engaging in a conversation. The other thing that happened because of that process is I call myself a street therapist in a sense, is that people recognize what I do in Davis and would stop by outside of writing in a notebook and simply want to seek answers to questions, whether they be practical, spiritual, personal, emotional, any academic. One person asked me to bless their manuscript because I stand at the places near the post office, and he was hoping to get first place prize in a writing contest, and he wanted me to bless his manuscript, and he came by and said, "You look like someone who can bless this manuscript for me." And some of it is really light, some of it is very heavy, and I am aware of that responsibility and that obligation to stay grounded and focused in compassion, so that whatever or whoever approaches me at any moment, I can offer them what the greatest gift that I can in that moment.
Do some people begin to think of you in terms of some sort of holy or reverent figure?
I've been called many a thing. I've been called almost every, or referred to as every religious, in every religious sense. A guru, angel, therapist.
Demon, has that been in there too?
Yes, okay. Demon. Mm-hmm. Yes, it has. Demon, all the positive and negative. Mm-hmm. And I love it all because it reinforces the integrity of what I do and who I am and the intention of who I am and what I do.
Let's wind back to your own spiritual tradition, because you're clearly aware of a lot now. Did you grow up with one? Did you grow up in a religious household or attend church as a kid?
I was an altar boy.
Uh-huh, really? Okay.
So, yes. Attended a Roman Catholic church and was baptized and confirmed. Went to church every Sunday, made sure that we were there on time, and was an altar boy for, I think, maybe a couple years.
Mm-hmm. And when you start from one religious tradition and explore others like that, is there still coming back to reference points from your original religious training?
Yes. And I believe one of the things I've been able to do is to integrate it and see how they are all really interrelated at the end of the day. Because as it's been said, Jesus didn't start Christianity, Buddha didn't start Buddhism. They were all after the fact. And that's what most figures, not only religious figures, but other people who have unintentionally lived their life, and unintentionally as a result, other people have latched on and started some type of movement, mm-hmm. whether it be religious, political, or even academic.
In the context of Jesus and Buddha and people who had things happen after their lives, I mean, is there any hope you hold for yourself that people will follow in your footsteps down the road?
Well, broism.
Okay.
The broists say.
Right.
He wouldn't want that. There'll be all these sects of broism. No. I think that in the future, I avoid that, because what happens is I avoid praise and condemnation, and I'll tell you why, because it disempowers the individual from what he or she can do, and I'm all about empowerment, because I know that I'm an example. I know that people come up and say they feel inspired by what I do, and I appreciate that. At the same time, I always encourage others to explore their own world. There, again, those that come up to me at the corner in Davis for whatever reason, when they leave, I want them to know that the same thing, the same power of love and peace and compassion is universal. And that it's within them, as well as what they're able to see in me. If they're actually able to see it, that means that they're not blind to that same thing that is within themselves. So I always encourage people as they leave my presence to explore that themselves.
David Breaux is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's been exploring the concept of compassion for several years now. Stood on a street corner in Davis, California for, was it 6 years?
Seven. Or stood on the corner for 5 years,
five
did
years,
a tour
mm-hmm.
from September 2014 to September 2015. Went back to Davis for a year and then started touring again last month.
Okay, so he is on a compassion tour of sorts in the Rogue Valley, visiting a number of spiritual traditions and talking to people about compassion. And he's largely asking people, what is your concept of compassion, which is the question on the table here and now. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange. We want to hear what you make of compassion, if you've ever stopped to think about what it means to you, what it means to the world. 800-838-3760 to join the conversation by phone. To send it in by email, that goes to jx@jeffnet.org. Were there times when you thought, David, you might want to take this someplace else, that you might get different responses if you stood in a street corner in Fresno or Sacramento, or you did it in Oakland, I know?
Yes, that was the initial and one of the initial intentions of doing the first tour, to see what was happening in Davis for 5 years, see how it would translate across the country. And during the first tour, I went to places like even Manhattan, went to Central Park, went to Washington Square Park, went to Louisville, Tampa, Austin, San Antonio, Tulsa, Seattle, Portland, Boise, went to Dallas. And each one, there are similarities and differences, obviously, based on the socioeconomic, geographic area. And there's similarities. And one of the similarities is that a lot of people were receptive, in the sense that they understood who I am. Once they understood who I am and what I do. And I think there are a few images of negativity when it comes to compassion, as far as it being a negative word itself. Some people believe compassion, oh, it's a bad thing. I think that's rare. I think most people hear the word compassion and think it's a good thing, like love.
So as you've gone through this process, asking other people what their concepts of compassion are, what has it done to your own? I mean, do you have a working concept, or, pardon me for use of the term, definition of compassion at this point in your own life?
Oh, yes, definitely. When I initially started this, I wrote down my own concept of compassion, and it was about a paragraph long. And over the course of asking 20,000 people and receiving 10,000 responses and reading through the responses, talking to all these people, and specifically there was a friend of mine who's an elderly lady who suggested that I keep it simple. And I intentionally, through my own intellect and also through my own spirit, now I work with the working. It's a working definition because I'm continuing to learn. At the present moment, it's recognizing essence. In recognizing essence, you come to a point where you know that love, peace and love are the essence of all things. And when you recognize that in others, you're able to act in a compassionate way in which there's some type of healing that's involved. When you recognize it in yourself, initially first, you become the presence of love itself, such that anything that comes into your vicinity, even not outside of your own vicinity, we can explore the word vicinity for a whole nother hour.
Okay, we'll go for proximity too.
Proximity as well. That has an influence. That love has an influence on other people. And you can see the depth of it from those religious or philosophical or artists that have created something out of love and had an influence thousands of years later. That's the power of love, and that's the power of compassion.
When you started, was there an end goal? Was there a I'll know it when I see it kind of thing? Or did you write down someplace, I will do this for 5 years on the street corner, or I'll get to 20,000 or whatever it was? I mean, was there a numerical goal? Was there a spiritual goal? Was there a, somebody's going to tell me to shut up and get out of here and I'll leave?
It was without expectation. Mm-hmm. It was simply a full surrender to the question, the pen, and the notepad. And it was without expectation or outcome. And that was part of the full surrender. If it was something otherwise, as far as setting a time limit on it, then it would be without the full surrender to it.
Did you have regulars? Did you have, like, you know, it's 9:30 on Wednesday, Benny's showing up anytime now, that kind of thing?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. There were and still are individuals that show up at regular times. There's a few people that over the course of the 7 years still stop by. There's one particular young man every Wednesday comes by in the evening. And there are some, whether or not, it's a college town, so it's very transient,
sure.
The college population. And there are some that would definitely come by for their compassion feed, to have a little compassion juice. And there are others that would just come by maybe a day. There's regulars. There's been regulars, yes.
Okay, we'll talk about what you got from the regulars. And what you got is just so much to look at in the book called Compassion, Davis, California, a compilation of concepts on compassion collected by David Breaux, standing at the corner of 3rd and C Streets in Davis for 5 years. He's visiting Ashland right now for a number of events. We'll talk about those again coming up. And we want to hear from you, though. Your concept of compassion, either by phone or by email, 800-838-3760. Or jx@jeffnet.org. We'll come back and put those on the air when we return to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 20. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. In fact, final segment on today's exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest is David Breaux, who decided at a point in his life that he wanted to go on a spiritual odyssey of sorts and began to ask people for their concept of compassion. And he did so standing on a street corner in Davis, California for 5 years, which he collected and put the first set in a book called Compassion, Davis, California. He filled several notebooks. We'll talk about that in a moment. And got lots of concepts from people. He's now gone on two compassion tours. He's on the second one now. He'll do a number of events in Ashland. We can run down the list in a moment here. But more than that, we want to hear your concept of compassion. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I thought by now you'd have a stack about 6 feet deep of notebooks in a corner somewhere, but you're just telling me only seven notebooks you filled up on the street corner in Davis?
Yes, seven. Mm-hmm. There's about 2,000 in each one, yes.
Wow, that's a pile. Now, you've been doing some of this while you've been in Ashland, too, is that right?
Yes, over at Black Swan, at the corner of Pioneer and what's the other name of the street?
It's Pioneer and Main Street.
Yeah. Yes, that's where I've been from 11 to 2. When the weather permits and when the schedule permits.
Uh-huh.
And I was there the first day a few days ago. Very receptive. What I needed was a space in town where there was a steady flow of foot traffic. And again, some of the same things that happened while I was crossing the country happened here, even just that first day. Someone that day had written, and she came back later and said that her mother was going through Alzheimer's, and that it, by being asked about compassion, that it gave her the opportunity to reframe what the experience was going, that she was going to reframe it in her mind. Mm-hmm. And the same reaction that I get other places, some people ask, what are you doing this for? And over the course of the evolution of the tour, I need to just suggest some of the language as far as the purpose. I always tell people, when they ask that, I tell them it's to bring awareness to compassion and just to give them a little background about the tour as well.
So you approach them or do they approach you? Do you have a sign that explains what you're doing or anything? You're just standing there with the notebook and the pen?
I sit there with the notebook and the pen and ask people as they pass by the question.
Mm-hmm.
Yet in the mail there right now, there's a sign that is coming and soon I should have an easel. with the sign there that says, David Brough asks, what is compassion? It's a sign that the folks in Dallas made for me.
Ah, that's cool. I was thinking that when you're standing there with a you know, piece of paper and a pen, I'm surprised a few people don't come by and say, I'm not registered to vote here or whatever.
They did that a couple of days ago.
Did they really?
A couple other ladies.
Okay. Not surprising. All right, let's start hearing from people what their definitions of compassion are. Leslie and Ashlyn, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with David Brough.
Yes. Hi. Good morning to you both. I would say that my definition would be to be kind to yourself first, and that comes from the Tao Te Ching. And then if you have any questions beyond that, to look inside.
So be kind to yourself first, and then any questions beyond that, look inside.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Basically from the Tao Te Ching.
All right. Thanks for that, Leslie. Appreciate that. I imagine you have run across this and many other concepts in your study of various spiritual traditions on compassion, David.
Yes. And I hear what the caller is saying. She refers to being able to have self-compassion first. And I believe that's where everything starts, is with the self, as far as inner peace, love, and compassion. Self-compassion is, people often ask me that, well, what is self-compassion? I tell them that it's the same thing you would do for anyone else who's in need of healing, and doing it to yourself. Speaking kind words to yourself, actually taking time to yourself to pamper yourself, make sure you're healthy, both physically and emotionally. All the things you do to a friend, make your own self a friend. Be a friend to yourself. It's very easy because we are the person that knows ourselves the best.
I do like the concept, take care of yourself first. On a more modern technical level, it reminds me of the admonition on the safety warnings on airlines.
Yes.
Yeah, make sure you put your own oxygen mask on first, then tend to your children.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, take care of that. So, wow. I mean, how many people on an average day would you see on the street corner in Davis or any other street corner you hang around now?
Ask or see?
Well, ask. How many people would participate? Let's put it that way.
In Davis, it was about half. Half the people would write initially. What happened in Davis is over the course of the media and people being exposed, because it's a very open place where I ask. I am a public figure in Davis, so the conversations are constant. Even when I'm food shopping, or outside of just being at the corner. And the conversations are always rich. I make sure that they have something to do with something of substance. And that's come out of the way of the entirety of a life change, which I focus on every thought, word, and deed, and make sure that it's a servant to bringing awareness to compassion. And I do that as much as possible.
How much has the process changed you? I mean, you're a fairly calm person now. I mean, were you highly different in jobs working as city planners, or what was you doing before?
I was more involved in the ego before. I was more involved in the shadow side of myself, and I have become more focused. And that's a friend of mine who sort of witnessed the whole process. That's the one word he used, which is true. I'm much more mindful of the thoughts that are going through the head, and I'm much more present. And I, in the surrendering process in 2009, it's been without going back into the cocoon, using the butterfly analogy. Once the wings have been granted to the butterfly, the butterfly cannot go back into the cocoon. So I cannot go back to the cocoon of the ego that restricts us from being truly who we are.
Compassion. What is your concept of compassion? You have a couple more minutes to share thoughts with David Brough here on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 over the phone. Email is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Julie in Ashland. Welcome to the Exchange.
Hello there. I really appreciate your following through on this urge to do this interesting, innovative idea. And it really answers a prayer that I've had for a long time about are we ever going to all be on the same page? And I just think it's great. You've got everybody's pages about compassion and a definite validation, you know, that it exists in the hearts and minds of everybody. So I would encourage you to keep following through and do some more same pages on other things eventually. You know, it'd be great because we're so fragmented with so many, you know, just horrible things going on, and we need to keep our unity and recognize and keep sustaining our same pageness. So thank you.
All right. Thanks
You're
for
welcome.
That, Julie. Appreciate that. So have you considered moving on to other subjects, something other than compassion?
Oh, it's compassion forevermore for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I love the sort of pun, same page.
Right, yeah.
Literally and figuratively.
Truly, that's right, on the same page. I noticed the concepts that did come up a bit. I noticed Jesus Christ is in here a fair amount.
Oh, yes.
In
yes.
the book, yeah.
Yes.
Not surprising given the number of Christians in our culture.
Yes.
Certainly from the sacred to the profane. You know, on the same page, you've got love for humans and beings, no matter how small. That's on the same day that somebody wrote Compassion Contains Ass, which I love.
There are some that stand out, yes.
Uh-huh. I really
yes.
do. Well, is there any one person or one moment that just, you know, there's this like, oh, this sparkling light that comes when you think about that encounter?
Oh,
above all others?
Oh, yes. Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. This is the story, and I will share it with you. This is a story in which I realized that it was more than simply asking people with the pen and the notepad. It's one morning, I was standing there. It was early on, and I remember specifically January 14th, 2011. That's how important it is.
Mm-hmm.
8:30 in the morning, I'm standing there with the pen and the notepad, and I'm watching as UC Davis students are cycling by on their way to campus. And it was early on in the asking of people. And there was a young man who would pass by, and often he had already written in the notebook. And he was probably about the same age as I am, and often carried an instrument case and a briefcase. And I noticed a particular morning that he had neither. And as he passed by, he approached me and said, "Give me the notebook." And two things popped in my head. One, he had already written. And two, that he had already, he demanded the notebook. And I was thinking why to both questions. He wrote something and he walked on, and I normally don't read what people write, yet because of those two circumstances I glanced down and he wrote, "Today my mother died. Mother always meant compassion." At that point, a few things happened. One, I started writing this typing up the responses to the book, and in an instant all 3,000 concepts went through my head. And I thought that was a bit of an experience. It actually, as they say, when you're about to pass, your life passes before your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That same thing happened, in a sense. Two is that his mother passed away relatively recent. And three, that this was a way for him to go through his grieving process. And four, I needed to act. And so what I did is I said, he was about halfway down the block, and I said, "Hey," and I called him over, and I gave him a hug because my mother had also passed away 10 years prior to that incident. And what became an individual that was a stranger became a soulmate. Stranger to soulmate. And I imagined our mothers looking down upon us with the smiles. And he wept on my shoulder, went on his way, and said, "Thank you." And at that point, I realized that it was more than just the pen and notepad. It was something with a far greater impact, both on myself and those that had written in a notebook or read it or everything else that's happened since I first started this in June 3rd, 2009.
Wow, that was an important day. I can see why you'd remember that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Does the concept of compassion in your own mind morph? Does it have different colors some days, like the way the sunlight can make the land look different on different days? I mean, does compassion sort of morph a bit?
Yes, it does. As of late, what I'm realizing is there's a term called compassionate listening, and I realize there's also compassionate speaking. And in that, if you put them both together, there's compassionate communication. And if you go a little bit beyond that, when we communicate, we're communicating affects how we live. And so there's compassionate living. And that's the thing I'm contemplating at the moment, is if you are listening, you must also be aware of how you're speaking. And if you're speaking compassionately, most people concentrate on compassionate listening, say you need to be open and actually engaged with the other person. Same when you're speaking, because there are often times when one is speaking to another person, or just speaking without actually speaking to another person. You hear what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And in those two senses, are you living compassionately? Are you offering your life that is engaged in a kind, loving way? And those are things to consider, and I consider it as well.
If you'd like to hear more from David Breaux and his work on compassion, he'll be at Unity in Ashland at Jackson Wellsprings on Sunday at 10:30, Ashland Library on Thursday. That's Thursday, next Thursday, the 6th of October at 3 in the afternoon. Bloomsbury Books on October 7th, Friday at 7 p.m. South Mountain Friends meeting on Sunday the 9th. United Church of Christ on Sunday the 16th. So quite a bit of a tour in the Rogue Valley. David Breaux, interesting work. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Pleasure's ours.